Welcome to Martha Runs the World, a podcast about running, fitness, and all things health related. I'm Martha Hughes, your host, and each week I'll introduce a new episode that is of interest to all runners. Hi, and welcome to episode 268 of Martha Runs the World. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I started my running again this week. I'm very excited about it. I'm starting over again for the 100th time. I think it is 100 times. I don't know, maybe it's 1,000. I don't know. It feels that way, but I'm excited about it. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you so much. I had an accident. I fell on the trail in December. I had to have surgery. My shoulder and arm is out of commission. I'm still getting it back, but going through physical therapy, which hurts, but that's okay. It's getting better. I'm getting more movability. Talk, Martha. And it's getting better. Let's put it that way. But my running, yeah, I'm getting back into it. Very, very excited. Well, this week I thought I'd cover one of the big trails that we have in the U.S. There are the big three: the Appalachian Trail, which I will call the AT just to save time, the Pacific Crest Trail, and the Continental Divide Trail. They're known as the big three. And in through hikers, there's this big goal of hiking all three of them. Some have that big goal. Through hiking is when you backpack for many, many days at a time. And this is not a backpacking show or a hiking show, but that's just shows you what that is and tells you what through hiking is. I'll cover the other two trails and different shows in the future. And a lot of runners run on these trails. A lot of runners, very fast runners, try to do FKTs, fastest known times, on these trails, and they have set records. Probably not the Continental Divide Trail, because that's basically a choose-your-own-adventure, and I'll talk about that again in the future, about the history and why it's so different than the other two, but that is, again, a different story. The Appalachian Trail is known as the Green Tunnel because it's very different from the West Coast in that the East Coast is very, very green. It rains a lot more. It's very lush. And you can go for days on the Appalachian, the AT, the Appalachian Trail, without seeing the sky because it's so lush and green. Very, very different than what we have in the West Coast. The Appalachian National Scenic Trail is a mountain footpath in the eastern United States, and it extends northeast to southwest for about 2,190 miles along the crest of the Appalachian Mountains. The trail runs from Mount Katahdin in Maine to Springer Mountain in Georgia, passing through 14 states: Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Georgia. There are 8 national forests and 6 units of the national park system included in the trail. Benton McKay, a regional planner for Massachusetts, is credited with spearheading the effort to build the Appalachian Trail when he published an article in 1921 promoting its creation. The first section of the footpath was opened in October 1923 in New York. Construction continued until 1937. The joint effort of volunteers from hiking clubs and other organizations coordinated by the Appalachian Trail Conference, founded also by Benton McKay, federal agencies, and the Civilian Conservation Corps. And that was a group that was started in the Great Depression to get people working. Volunteers affiliated with the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, formerly the Appalachian Trail Conference, are responsible for the management of the footpath. The trail became one of the 2 initial units of the National Trail System established by the U.S. Congress in 1968, the other being the Pacific Crest National Scenic Trail. Nearly the entire trail runs through public lands. Short hikes are the primary use of the footpath, but each year a few thousand thru-hikers attempt to complete the entire trail, usually starting from Springer Mountain in Georgia in March or April. And this is the perfect time of year for me to do this episode because the thru-hikers are starting right now, or they'll start right now. It's kind of early in March, but they should start through March and April, their long journey. Hiking the trail in its entirety takes about 5 to 7 months. Primitive shelters are located 10 to 12 miles apart, and I'll talk about through hiking in a bit. Wildlife along the path includes moose, black bears, deer, coyotes, bobcats, woodchucks, porcupines, and raccoons. Some of the trail's most rugged terrain is in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, where portions of the path lie exposed above the tree line, and in Maine, where trekkers must take steep ascents and descents through a series of 4,000-foot mountains. The trail reaches its highest elevation, 6,643 feet, as it crosses the summit of Clingman's Dome in Great Smoky Mountains National Park, near the Tennessee-North Carolina border. And it doesn't get as high as like the Pacific Crest Trail or the Continental Divide, but it's a different trail. It's a lot more technical. Roots and rocks. Remember, roots and rocks are what the East Coast is about. It's a lot harder trail, even hiking, because a lot of your hiking you're going to do when you're so dead tired with the heavy pack and you're going to be on your feet for hours and hours. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. Popular spots along the route include Baxter State Park in Maine, the White Mountains, Delaware Water Gap National Recreation Area, Harper's Ferry National Historical Park, Mount Rogers in Virginia, the Great Smoky Mountains, and Blood and Springer Mountains in Georgia. Fall foliage and pastoral farms in New Hampshire and Vermont are highlights. Of the 14 states, Virginia contains the longest stretch of trail, as well as a variety of landscapes and wildlife. Shenandoah National Park and the Blue Ridge Parkway are big highlights. And the route travels on or near the Tennessee-North Carolina state line for about 200 miles. There's a lot to see. And the heavily forested wilderness is most of what is covered. And in springtime, you'll see dogwood, azalea, and rhododendron blossoms. Now, it's a very popular trail, so you won't spend a whole lot of time by yourself. There'll be lots of other people on the trail. They have these shelters built for just for through hikers, so if you decide to use one of those, you'll probably be sharing it with other people. Like I said, trail runners don't have to worry about that, or if you're a fast packer and you want to spend a few days out there, you'll have to contend with the through hikers, or if you don't want to camp out in one of the shelters, just make yourself a tent somewhere far away from them because they can get kind of loud. The elevation gain loss of hiking the entire Appalachian Trail is the equivalent of climbing Mount Everest 16 times, and that's what these thru-hikers do. The summit of Mount Everest sits at 29,029 feet. Doing a little math, that means that the elevation change hikers traverse along the AT totals up to the approximation of 464,464 feet. That's incredible. That's a lot. On average, the trail crosses a road every 4 miles. So the Appalachian Mountains are bustling with many small mountain communities, making it easier to find your way back to society than other long-distance trails. That's a huge difference than the other two. The other two are isolated, and you may not see civilization for days. The trail itself runs right through several of these towns and passes a few miles of many others. Less than 22,000 people have completed a successful through hike of the AT. According to the records kept by the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, the ATC, as of this show, there have been 21,553 successful thru-hikes of the AT since its creation. That's the only amount of people who have completed the AT, and I'm sure there'll be many more this year. The AT cuts through the oldest mountain range in the planet. That's right, the oldest. Now, while it's fairly difficult to prove, they have proven that the Appalachian mountain range is the oldest in the world. I'm not going to get into the geology of it, but they do know that. Fastest known times. There's been a lot of fastest known times on the Appalachian Trail. In September 16th, 2023, British ultra runner from London, Christian Morgan, took his final running footsteps to the wooded summit of Springer Mountain, the southern terminus of the 2,193-mile Appalachian Trail. As recorded in his Facebook page, after 45 days, 4 hours, and 27 minutes, surrounded by his family and support crew, his record-setting journey was over. During an unusually damp year that saw flooding in New England, Morgan was able to shave off 18 hours from the previously held fastest known time by ultra-running legend Carl Meltzer in 2016. Okay, now the overall speed record for the AT is held by Carol Saab, who traveled northbound, setting a supported time of 41 days, 7 hours, and 39 minutes in 2018. Joe Stringby McConey, believe that's how that's pronounced, sorry if I mispronounced it, holds the overall self-supported record, which stands at 45 days, 12 hours, and 15 minutes. Morgan wrote a few things about his adventure on the trail. Our daily routine to keep my feet healthy for another 50-miler day includes the following. End-of-day soak in warm water containing Epsom salts. Removal of all dirt after soak using a soft bristled brush and warm water. Drying feet after a long wet day using baby powder and if ever changing out wet socks and shoes at road crossings. Moisturizing feet after a dry day using a special foot cream. Ultra-thin socks from Darn Tough. Shoes used including Speed Goat 5 and Mafate Speed 4 from Hoka. When sleeping with crew, I filed down calluses. Massage on a spiky ball to release any built-up tension. I used a Theragun Prime angled sideways to massage feet. Make sure to cut toenails when as needed. Due to the above, I never received a single blister on my feet. My feet never ached in the later stages of the 2,200-mile run, ultimately helping me finish strong and set a new southbound record. The lesson here is take care of your feet. Now, Scott Jurek set the fastest known time before all this, and he wrote a book about it in the book North.
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
If I'm completely honest, I've learned more about the AT from through hikers who have completed the trail in the many months they spent hiking than anything else. When I was out of commission on my first hip surgery, I discovered a through hiker who had videoed his whole journey through a GoPro. I watched a lot of YouTube videos and I found this one. Now I was out of commission in the fall, and he had videotaped all his whole journey daily on a GoPro. So I got to watch it from the start, and he started in March or April, and I watched his whole thing out day to day. It was very fascinating. It was a lot of fun to watch. It was just really, really fun. Now, most of the through hikers, it takes them, like said, about 5 to 7 months, sometimes 8, if they're very slow or take their time. Most start in Georgia, so they go out in March, which makes sense because it's not as cold in Georgia than it is up north. It can be some years, but it's usually a little warmer, and they want to get to Maine before the winter, that next winter sets in, because if winter sets in Maine, then it's all over. So they have to get up there at least by August or maybe early September before it really starts to get freezing up north. By following the one hiker, I discovered how beautiful a trail it was, but also I found a lot of things about it. It's very crowded, especially that time of year when all the hikers do it. And it was entertaining and just really impressive by how many hikers try to do the full trail. And I also wonder how they can get time off work if they're older. Crazy. Now, many thru hikers want to do all big three trails. They usually start with the AT. Not because it's easier, because none of them are easy, but it's the most accessible to civilization, and it is the quote-unquote easiest of the big three. They usually go in order of the AT, then the Pacific Crest. Then, if their ultimate goal is to do all three, then they do the Continental Divide, which is the most difficult of the three. Now, the thing with the AT is that it's most accessible to civilization. It's close to stores, to resupply shops. You don't really have to have a whole lot of deliveries shipped to you because there are stores all around that you can pick up things if you run out. If you run out of batteries for your headlight, for example, you can get it in the next town if you need it. If you need food, you can go right down there. You can get it in a store or there's restaurants. If you want a 0 day, which is what an off day is called on through hiking, there are hotels around or motels. You can take a 0 day and stay in a motel and take a shower and rest in a real bed. As a matter of fact, they have these glam hikers on the AT. It's called slack packing. Because there are so many towns around, these slack packers, and they're actually not looked at very highly by the through hikers who carry their own stuff, but these slack packers will pay people to carry their packs from town to town, so they just hike without a heavy pack. So they'll pay someone to carry their pack from point A to point B every day so that they only hike with just a light day pack that they need. And then they'll meet up with the person carrying their pack, and then they'll stay in a hotel. I mean, come on. If you're going to do the experience, do the whole experience. Don't pay for someone to carry your pack. That's just kind of lame to me, but that's me. I mean, if you want to do it again, they do that on Catalina Island too. If you want to go out there, you don't want to carry your pack, you can have someone carry your pack for you. Kind of lame. You know, don't say you went backpacking if someone carried your pack for you. That's just wrong. All right. But anyway, so you would start out with the AT usually and then move your way up. Now, there is a dark side to the AT. Many hikers have disappeared from the AT or have passed away. Some do to foul play, but others lose their lives through getting lost or bad weather or just simply voluntarily disappear. I'll give one example of tragedy on the trail, but there are dozens of others, and there are many websites and YouTube channels who cover this sort of thing. My favorite YouTube channel about this is Outdoor Disaster, and this channel covers lots of terrible experience in the outdoors, including mountaineering, hiking, scuba diving, all that kind of thing he covers. He does a really, really good job of it, and he's the best that I've found on that type of thing, and I'll leave a link in the website for MarthaRunsTheWorld.com for his channel. Now, here's the example. Geraldine Larger, a 66-year-old hiker, also known as Jerry, faced a harrowing and ultimately tragic experience after getting lost on the AT in 2013. Despite surviving for 26 days, her situation did end in tragedy. Geraldine disappeared on July 22, 2013, after straying from the trail. Her husband, George Larger, was supporting her throughout her journey, which was part of the through hike. Despite her experience and preparation, including a course on hiking the trail, Larger lost her way and was unable to find her way back. Now, in the aftermath of her disappearance, she made several attempts to contact her husband via text, but due to poor cell service, these messages were never sent. She tried to find higher ground to send an SOS and even attempted to set fires for rescue signals. And I don't know if this was before Garmin in reach, but now every thru-hiker I know carries a Garmin in reach with them where they can signal SOS right away and someone will get out there as soon as possible. So hopefully this is a thing of the past. And if someone is thru-hiking without some device like a Garmin SOS, they're not being very safe for themselves. I mean, if I was out doing long, long fast packs, I'm not going to just regular backpack, but if I was doing long fast packs or trail runs in the middle of nowhere, I would definitely have a Garmin in reach. They're not cheap. They're going to set you back a few hundred dollars. But the thing is that they can send an SOS without a signal. So wherever you are, you can send an SOS out and someone can come get you. It might take a couple hours. Okay, it might take a little while if you're somewhere hidden or if you fell somewhere and they're hard to get to, but someone will eventually come get you. It's very important to have. Anyway, okay, back to it. Jerry tried to find a higher ground to send an SOS. Her journal entries found later expressed her wish for a family, for her family to know her fate if her body was found. Jerry's remains were discovered in October 2015, 2 years later, by a forester working near the trail. Her campsite, hidden under dense tree cover, was located less than 2 miles from the AT. 2 miles! The medical examiner concluded that she died of exposure. So she was not far from the trail, but she got so disoriented that she just couldn't find her way back to the trail. And that's how things go sometimes. You could be so far off and just not know where you are. There are many disappearances on the AT. There really are. There are a lot of them. And some of them, like I said, are due to foul play. Some of them are just due to just getting lost. Some of them are exposure. And because it's very close to civilization, it's much more close to civilization than the Pacific Crest Trail or the Continental Divide. And so there is more crime. But the thing is it's all relative because you're still safer on a trail anywhere than in a more populated area. That's just a fact. And I also think that anyone planning on doing this kind of a long distance hike should take a course in basic survival skills, not just on the trail, but basic survival skills that could save your life. Learn how to read a compass. Take a regular compass with you. Electronic devices, as we just saw, don't work all the time. If you have a regular compass with you, cost you $10, you'll know the direction. If you know the direction you can go, you can figure your way back to the trail. Say, oh, if you wandered off, you can figure, oh, okay, if this is north, maybe the trail will be west, and you'll follow it, and you can find your way back to the trail. And also, always have a paper map. Yes, you can have the map on your phone. That's great. But if you have a paper map, if your phone dies on you, if you run out of battery life on your phone, you're not going to have that. So always have a paper map on you as well. And you can laminate it if in case it gets rainy, and it always is rainy on the AT at some point. So laminate that map, and you can laminate different portions because the AT is long. So just have it in different sections that won't take up much weight. There's no weight to that, and it won't take up much room. It would really, really help you out on the long run. The AT is a national treasure. Those who hike the whole distance are remarkable in my book. You guys rock. I'm certainly never going to do it, but I think you guys are awesome. And if you just decide to go out for an afternoon and do a trail run and of just a couple miles, I think that's spectacular. I would love to do that sometime. I'd love to visit it. It just looks brilliant and wonderful. I salute all of you who can enjoy it. Enjoy yourself. Look out for those roots and rocks. Roots and rocks. You don't have to go out there for days, just a couple hours, like I said, to enjoy this wonderful treasure that we have. We're very lucky to have the Appalachian Trail. It's a resource. You don't need to pay to use it. It goes through many national parks, goes through many states, and many wilderness areas. So enjoy it and appreciate the fact that we are lucky enough to have it. And that is it for today. Now, that makes me want to go out for a hike, I tell you. But I am running this week, so I'm excited about it. I'm going to have a couple links for the trail and some of the information I talked about on the website, martharunstheworld.com. Everything is on there. If you want to become a Patreon patron, that is also there. If you want to toss a couple bucks my way, that is there as well. If you want to email me, it's martharunstheworld@gmail.com. That is also there. Just email me and let me know how things are going. And that is it. So until next week, let's tie up our shoelaces and go for a run.